Welcome back to the Majestic Academy. This is your host, J. Michael Edwards, reminding you to invite your friends and family to the study of the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Don teaches a lesson all have been awaiting, the Mark of the Beast. So, let's get to it.
Thanks, J. Michael, and here we are again, back in the Majestic Academy in a lesson you've probably been very interested in getting to. This is one of those things that is much discussed these days. What is the mark of the beast? What is the mark of the beast? Is the mark of the beast the vaccine? Is the mark of the beast a chip? Is the mark of the beast some ink spot that you can't get rid of? And on and on and on and on. But there's a lot of speculative discussion out there. So let's see what God's Word has to say, and maybe we can sort this out. So welcome again. We're going to look at Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. Get your Bibles out and have your swords at the ready, and let's get going. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Father, this is an important portion of Scripture. Lord, help me to try to explain it. Lord, I pray that open hearts, open ears, Lord, that they might understand it out there in the academy. Lord, help me now. Bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just, before I go on, let me just bring that back to your attention. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's not the hand and the forehead. It is the hand or the forehead. All right? It says, receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Not both. People say, well, they got to have the mark in the hands and in the foreheads. Well, again, that's misquoting Scripture. So let's get into the study here. We have arrived at a passage of Scripture that has caused more speculation than probably any other. For centuries upon centuries, people have been trying to decipher the mark of the beast. People actually fear the number 666. I was in a store making a purchase, and the total of my purchases came to $6.66. This has happened on more than one occasion. Nearly every time, the clerk has tried to get me to buy something else so she won't have to ring up $6.66. I always pay the $6.66 and use the opportunity to witness to the clerk and to give a brief explanation of the mark of the beast. It's an opportunity to be able to witness to the lost. There's a lot of speculation concerning what the mark of the beast is all about. There's so much misinformation concerning this subject as well. These verses give us some of the information we need to understand just what the mark of the beast is. We won't learn everything we would like to know, but we will learn enough to know that no Christian in this classroom, no Christian in the academy, no born-again child of God needs to be afraid of the mark of the beast. I want to give you one hint, though. It's not a vaccination. Anyway, so let's look at these three verses today. Let's see if we can dispel some of the mystery surrounding the mark of the beast. There are some characteristics of the mark of the beast that I want to point out to you as I teach about the mark of the beast. Verse 16 talks about that it is a mark of identification. Again, much speculation concerning what the mark of the beast might be. Some believe it might be some sort of a barcode system that is tattooed into the skin. People would have to scan the barcode to access the money to buy or sell. I haven't heard this as much lately as I used to, going to be this barcode thing. But we know that laser tattoos can be reproduced with invisible ink to the naked eye, but which will show up under some ultraviolet light, like you might get in an amusement park or something like that, where you have your hand stamped and you can't see it unless it puts underneath this ultraviolet light. Many today are speculating that somehow this COVID vaccination is going to put an invisible mark somewhere, like in your forehead. Again, you do the research on some of these things, and there's just so much out there. People have such vivid and wild imaginations. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know because I don't know. Can this something about the COVID vaccination or a booster shot or something else? Could that be? Could be. But because I don't know, you don't know what you don't know. I beat that to death, haven't I? Scientists have developed tiny microchips the size of a grain of rice. These chips can carry all of your medical and financial information, and they can be read with a simple scanner. These chips are already being used in pets, in the military, and there's talk of placing these microchips in babies to prevent kidnappings and mistakes at the hospital. I don't know, it's possible that technology of this kind of nature could be used to fulfill this passage. Again, we don't know, it's pure speculation. It's also possible to place GPS transmitters in chips the size of jelly beans. While these transmitters, with these transmitters, people can be tracked regardless of where they are in the world. And we've seen a lot of that here with this COVID, that somehow nanotechnology is going into our bodies, and through that, satellites can track us, and that's why they want us 6 feet apart, so that these scanners can find us. You know, I don't know. Again, technology has advanced so much, we have no idea. DNA technology, genetic testing, you get the COVID test and some kind of nano things go into your brain or something. And, you know, I kind of say all of that just to say that there's just a lot of misinformation. Nobody knows. But let me just say this, my dear Christian friends, take heart. As a child of God, you're not going to be around to see it. Or as my brother J. Michael might say, I ain't going to be here, man. I ain't going to be here, so why worry about it? We should know about it. We need to be able to witness about it, teach others about it, but we ain't going to be here. So don't fret it. Don't worry about it. The scope of this mark, it says it's causeth all. Causeth all. The word causeth means to force. We are told that all people of all classes will be required to wear this mark in their bodies. Everyone, from the most common of men to the most famous of celebrities, they must bear this mark in their bodies. It will be a universal mark. For once in this world, there'll be no favoritism, no discrimination, no class. Everyone, every person from the savage in the darkest jungles of Africa to the executives and politicians living in these penthouses and in the White House and wherever, they will have to receive the mark of the beast. The situation of this mark, it says, in their right hands or in their foreheads. This mark will apparently be placed in either the hand or in the forehead. The word mark comes from a word that means a stamp, an imprint, or something carved. Whatever this mark is, it will reside in the flesh, and it will be permanent. It won't be some microchip where they can use their knife and pick it out like you see in movies. Not going to be like that. People will not be able to alter it or counterfeit it. It will be placed where it can be easily seen. The source of this mark. The he in verse 17 refers to the false prophet. If you remember, he is the one who causes the world to worship the Antichrist. He is the one who causes the image of the Antichrist to move and speak. He is the leader of the one world religion that will dominate the world during this tribulation period. He will devise this marking system, and he will see that it is carried out. It might help us to understand This if we consider what was happening in the Roman Empire during John's days. In the Roman world, there were millions of slaves. A slave would be marked by his master with either a brand or a tattoo or a symbol with a number on it. It was Roman law in those days for people to worship the emperor. The Roman emperors had declared themselves deity, and they demanded the worship of their subjects. This emperor worship involved the Roman citizen going into a temple set apart for emperor worship. The citizen would take a pinch of incense, place it on a flaming altar, and say, "Caesar is God." The worshiper would then receive a mark signifying that he had fulfilled his duty to the emperor. And that is exactly what we see in this passage. The world will worship the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 4, and 15. When they do, they will receive his mark. It will be a statement of their allegiance to him and to his government. They will be identified as his servants. So, it's a mark of identification. In verse 7, it is a mark of isolation. We see the power of this isolation. The mark will be tied to the economy. People will be required to produce the mark of the beast in order to be able to buy or sell. This, in itself, will be a great enticement for people to receive the mark of the beast. In order to hold a job, to get credit, to access bank accounts, or to do something so mundane as buy a loaf of bread will require a person to have the mark of the beast. Imagine what this might involve. A young mother goes to the store to buy formula for a baby. She lacks the mark of the beast, and she is not allowed to purchase her products. A man stops for gas at a gas station. He does not have the mark, and he is not allowed to buy. A family shivers in the dark and cold because they're not going to buy utilities without the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will instantly divide the world into two camps. The mark of the beast will declare who worships the Antichrist and who does not. It will prove to be a mark of isolation. And let me just throw this in here as an extra. Look at what's going on around you right now. If you're not vaccinated, you can't go certain places. You can't do certain things. You can't work for certain companies. I'm a Canadian citizen as well as a U.S. citizen. I have dual citizenship. I cannot go into Canada unless I'm vaccinated. I want to see a dear friend of mine who's dying. His wife and family have decided that, and he's home, but they've decided that anybody that's coming to see him must be vaccinated. And on and on and on. You can't go into grocery stores, some, without vaccination. Soon it'll be doctors and any other public place. A friend of mine volunteered for Red Cross. He drives blood to blood banks. He just learned he's going to have to be vaccinated if he wants to continue driving. And so this is already setting things up to prepare people for this whole thing about two camps, who can buy, who can't buy, restricting people. It's already happening. It's preparing people right now for these things. So again, if you think that this is just allegorical stories, it's not real, look at what's going on around you. Take a look at the world, and you've got to believe that these things are not child stories. These are real events that will come to pass. We are being prepared for this right now. Anyway, getting back to my study here. We see the purpose of this isolation. The Antichrist will use the mark of the beast to control the world. Everything in the world during the tribulation period will be controlled. Food, housing, medicine, medical care will all be dispensed only to those who have the mark of the beast. This mark will give the Antichrist instant power over every person everywhere in the world. And I could go on like I just did. It's already here. W.A. Criswell, a expert on these things. He writes, "A man who had lived under Bulgaria's communist regime remarked, 'You cannot understand and you cannot know what that the most terrible instrument of persecution ever devised is an innocent ration card. You cannot buy and you cannot sell except according for that little innocent card. If they please, you can be starved to death. If they please, you can be dispossessed of everything you have, for you cannot trade and you cannot buy and you cannot sell without permission.'" Think back to World War II. There were ration cards. My mother used to tell us the stories about how much gasoline you could buy and how much coffee you could buy and how much fat you could buy and all these things. Without that card, you did not buy and you did not sell. And so we see the persecution of this isolation. There will be many who will refuse to accept the mark of the beast. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists will not take the mark. Their converts will refuse to take the mark. There will be literally millions of people around the world who will refuse to bow to the beast or to his image. They will reject the ministry of the false prophet. These people will suffer greatly for their decision. And let me stop there about today. Today, it's almost like environmentalism is the false prophet. People are bowing down to environmentalists. They are bowing down thinking that our world is coming to an end because people are polluting the air. And people are bowing down to those leaders who are promoting this lie. My friends, it is just not true. There's nothing mankind can do that can destroy this earth. This is God's earth. God controls everything. If he wants something to happen, it happens. If he doesn't, then it won't. Don't buy into this stuff. We should all want clean water and clean air and clean utilities and all that. We should work towards that. But this nonsense about global climate change, guess what, folks? Climate changes in 50 to 60 year cycles. Anyway, I hate to get into politics. It's just, this stuff drives me crazy, but it's setting us up for this stuff. It is setting us up for this. People will not be able to buy food, clothing, or medicine. They will be refused medical treatment. Many, no doubt, will starve to death in order that they might not dishonor the name of the Lord Jesus. These people will be hunted down and persecuted to the death because of their defiance. We see that in chapter 13, verse 15. In chapter 6, verse 9, these people will pay a terrible price for their faith in Jesus, but they will be greatly rewarded when they leave this world. We see that in Revelation 7. Again, let me remind everybody, if you're a Christian right now, you will not be going through this. This is after the rapture. This is during the tribulation period. And so, we are not being persecuted, folks, for our faith today. But we are a marked people. The world is ramping up its hatred of the Lord Jesus and of those who follow him. We can expect to see this kind of hatred intensify as we move closer to the end. There are Christians today. Think of the Afghan Christians. They are being slaughtered as I speak this right now because of the stupidity of those people who made the decision to just pull people out. Just like in the 70s during Vietnam, I was over there as the war ended, and we just pulled up stakes. Within days, we were gone. And millions of Vietnamese, Laotians, and Cambodians were slaughtered. It's the same thing in Afghanistan with Christians. I just hate to see this, but people there are being persecuted. Here in North America, you know, not so much, but it's coming. We will be, churches who can't open. Christians, I have good friends in the Philippines. They cannot assemble. Even today, they can't assemble. We're being controlled right now. So it's setting this up. Believers in this day need to continue to take a stand for Jesus in spite of what they might face for doing so. We need to be faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and honestly, even unto death if necessary. I wonder how many listening to my voice right now. If someone came to your house and said, "Deny Jesus or die," I wonder how many would say, okay, please don't hurt me, I'll deny Jesus. Or how many would say, go ahead, you can't scare me with death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't scare me with death. And you know, folks, we should not be scared with death. Because if we die, we get to go to heaven. Oh, what a day. I think the song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of these things. Jesus is in control. And so, thirdly, it's also a mark of information. So we have a mark of identification, we have a mark of isolation, and then we also have a mark of information. In verses 17 and 18, it reveals the name of the beast. We are told that the mark is tied to a number, and that this number is tied to the name of the beast. This has led to some wild speculation over the years. In ancient times, number values were attached to Greek and Hebrew letters. Using what is known as gematria, G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A, gematria, which is an ancient form of numerology, a number is assigned to each letter in the alphabet. These numbers are then used to seek hidden meaning in these words. The people who believe in such things believe that numerical equivalents in names and words are not coincidental, but providential. The beast's name, which is known, will yield the number 666. People have used this system to propose many different possibilities as to who might be the Antichrist. They have taken the letters in people's names, added up the numerical value, and declared that this person or that person had to be the Antichrist. They've suggested Adolf Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. Back in the 1980s, some people believed that Gorbachev was the Antichrist because he had that huge birthmark on his head. The fact is, we do not know who the Antichrist is. We can do all sorts of numerical gymnastics and gyrations, but we will still be in the dark concerning his identity. But when he appears, the people living in that day will have all the information they need to be able to identify the Antichrist. And then it reveals the nature of the beast. We are told that the beast's number is the number of man. His number is 666. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. This number is just short of the number of completion or perfection, which is the number seven. The number six is seen several times in the Bible. When it is in view, it always comes up short. Let me just stop again and say this. I want to throw this in there. I've been throwing a bunch of stuff in here. Let me just throw this in here. If your Bible has the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R, and not Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Remember, the number six is the number of man. The number seven is the number of perfection, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Savior is spelled S-A-V-I-O-U-R, not S-A-V-I-O-R. Savior with six letters is like I was in the Coast Guard. And we were called, oh, my Savior is here. My Savior is here. Come to rescue me. That's Savior, I-O-R. Savior, I-O-U-R, is the number seven. It is perfection. And only Jesus Christ is perfect. Anyway, just, again, little things like that. Kind of my hobby horses. Back to our study. When Nebuchadnezzar made his idol in Daniel 3:1, it was 60 cubits by 6 cubits. When Goliath came out to meet David in 1 Samuel 17, he was 6 cubits and a span tall and carried a spear whose head weighed 600 shekels. The Antichrist will be the pinnacle of human achievement. He will be the brightest, the most powerful human the world has ever seen outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will be a remarkable man, but he will still fall short of completion and perfection. His number, 666, number six, declares his deficiency. Man is represented by the number 6. God is represented by the number 7. 7 speaks of completion and perfection. God is perfect and complete. And whether you are speaking to the Father, speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is 777, if you will. Satan and his unholy trinity can never compete with God. They will give it their best, but they will still be just 666. They will never be complete, and they will never be perfect because they lack God. So why would anyone choose this number? We have to assume that if the Antichrist is the ruler of the world, he must be able to choose his own number. Why 666? He may do it to stand in defiance to God. After all, the Lord has declared that the devil's Superman will wear this number and be defeated. He may do it out of pure rebellion. Of course, this number might be just God's people to be able to recognize him when he comes. Either way, this number will declare his name and his nature. When he comes, the people of God will be able to identify him and thusly refuse this mark. One of the practical lessons we can take away from this passage is the truth: Satan always marks his people. He marks their bodies. Anybody ever had a few tattoos? He marks their bodies. He marks their souls. And he marks their minds. He marks his people. On the other hand, God seals. Satan marks, God seals. 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, Revelation 7:2-8, you are sealed until the day of redemption if you are a born-again Christian. So Satan marks those who give themselves to him. God seals those who come to him through Jesus Christ. He seals them for himself, and he seals them for all eternity. Please don't give into this lie that you can lose your salvation. If you say you can lose your salvation, you're just limiting God. You're saying God is not big enough to hold me until the day I die. Because Scripture does not teach that you can lose your salvation, just the opposite. We are sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. There are some terrible days coming to this earth. Satan is going to have free reign down here for several years, and billions, with a B, billions will be brought under his grip for time and eternity. Every one of these people who take the mark of the beast are destined for eternity. Let me read Revelation 14:9-12. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark or the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They cannot take the mark of the beast, worship Satan, and then be saved. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what any of these books say. The Bible says otherwise. If they bow to him, they are lost forever. And this is a terrible truth, I know, but it's the truth. Do not let that happen to you. Come to Jesus while there is still time to be saved. If you are left here after the rapture and you survive the wars and the famines and the death and the disease, you will take the mark of the beast and you will go to hell. It does not have to be that way, my friends. To Satan, you are nothing but a number. If you will come to God, he will call you by name. Revelation 2:17, we read these verses, months ago, I guess. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. A census worker came to the door of a home and asked the lady of the house about the number of her children. She had several, and she began to name them out loud. Oh, let's see, there's Billy, and then there's Jimmy, and Sally, and then there's Sue, and then he stopped her. He said, "Ma'am, I don't care about the names, I just want to know their number." She said, "Sir, my children don't have numbers, they have names." You can have a name, or you can have a number. If you have a name, you will have a place in heaven when you leave this world. If you receive this number, 666, you will go to hell forever and ever. So which do you want today? Would you rather have a name in heaven? I have a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. You can have a name in heaven. You can be clothed in white raiment. Just call on Jesus today. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. Tell him that you believe he died for you and you believe he rose again. And ask him into your heart to take you to heaven when you die, to be the Lord and Master of your life. And he is faithful and just. And he'll come into your heart and he will regenerate your dead spirit and make you a born-again child of God. And you will be born again, child of God, heaven bound. You will be going to heaven. Praise God. Won't you do that today? So until next time, this is Pastor Don. As I always say, keep looking up and listening with a shout.
J. Michael back. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to this lesson again. These words are not allegorical, they are literal. These events will come to pass. Don't be fooled by false religions that tell you it's all going to be okay. The rapture is just around the corner. Don't miss it. In our next lesson, we take an in-depth look at our heroes, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout.